We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Pew Charitable Trusts, working to protect the world's fisheries at pewtrusts.org.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's closing market report for March 15, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, a group of U.S. senators have proposed a resolution urging Japan to lift restrictions on U.S. beef imports. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason reports on crop insurance decisions due to be finalized today. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Monday afternoon in Kansas City and Chicago, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, May wheat, 488 and a quarter, down 6.5. July, 498 and a half, down 7. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 479 and a quarter, down 6. July, 492, down 6. September, 507 and a half, down 6.5. May corn, 363 and a quarter, down 1. July, 374 and a quarter, down 1.25. September, 383 and 3 quarters, down 0.5. December, 393, down 3 quarters. March of 2011, 404 and a quarter, down 3 quarters. May beans, 930, up 4.5. July, 937 and a half, up 4. August, 935 and a half, up 2.5. November, 914 unchanged. May soybean meal, 257.60, up 6.30. May soybean oil, 38.75, down 80. April live cattle, 95.65, up 55. June, 93.60, up 80. March feeders, 102.90, down 10. April, 106.02.5, up 5. April lean hogs, 71.80, down 85. May, 77.57.5, down 37 and 1/2 on the day. And those are Monday's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's take a look at meteorologist Scott Althoff's extended two-state highlights. He says today in northern and northwestern Illinois, becoming partly to mostly sunny in northern Indiana and central sections, mostly cloudy with some breaks in the clouds this afternoon, elsewhere cloudy. Highs ranging from 57 in northwest Illinois to 45 in eastern Indiana. Tonight in northern and central sections, partly cloudy. In southern sections, mostly cloudy. Lows ranging from 32 in northeastern Indiana to 40 in the south. Tomorrow in northern and central Indiana, sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 54 to 58 degrees. Here is Scott's extended highlights. He says mostly dry weather will be the feature across the Midwest this week, with temperatures from average to above average. Colder air will return with snow and rain chances for the weekend, and then colder than average temperatures will set up across the plains and Midwest next week. River flooding will be the biggest concern across the upper Midwest this week and next week. We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer. Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Dave.
Before we get rolling too far, let me let the audience know that you will be part of a commodity panel this evening at the Champaign County Farm Bureau offices in Champaign. That meeting getting underway this evening at 7 o'clock, and it's sponsored by the Champaign Corn and Soybean Club. Also on the panel is Justin Kelly of eHedger LLC out of Chicago, Illinois, as well as Mike Georgie of Allendale. He's over in Mahomet. It should be an interesting panel, should it not, Kurt?
Oh, you got a super line up there, Dave. Can't wait to get there myself.
and when you do come, are you going to bring any very interesting things to share?
Well, the main thing is probably answer questions that the audience has, and that's a good group to get some tough questions from, so be up to the challenge to try to answer those questions. As far as any breaking news, it's kind of hard to get too bullish or too bearish in the grain complex right here at the moment. Sort of more of a maybe calm before the storm, maybe.
Well, that, put another way, I think the first question out of the box will be, gulp, how low can it go by harvest?
Oh, boy, that's... A zero is probably the safe answer. If things would really get negative here, we could see this grain market in particular probably drift lower. That's the thing you got to ask yourself as a producer if you want to manage risk right here at the moment. You know, you talked about crop insurance last days today. That's one way to manage a little bit of production risk. The other way is to use some marketing, some type of hedging program to manage your price risk, looking at the old parameters that you could use. If you go to a long-term chart, basically December corn will find support down around this 380, but it could drop clear down to 50, 350, so there's 50-cent downside risk in corn, December corn. November beans, if we can't hold $9, they'll be quick to talk, you know, $8. So if you're one that 50 cents down on corn, $1.30 down in beans doesn't bother you, then I wouldn't worry about it right at the moment, Dave.
Well, those sound like pretty steep declines any way you look at it, especially when you consider where the prices were just 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's bullish, 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 bearish, bearish, bearish. So hopefully we'll get the bearish, bearish picture built in here fairly quickly as we go into the growing season. Hope it's bearish because that means we'll be able to get in the field here this spring and get the crop in a timely fashion because the last thing we need is a shortfall on bushels this year. Longer term, when you do look at the cyclical cycles and the Elliott wave counts and the technical voodoo, a lot of them were looking at a multi-year low here, 2010. Now, that does not mean we're going to go lower and go straight back up. That means we can drift and grind down in here and build a base here and maybe see some higher prices or better demand as we go into 2011 and 2012.
In other words, it could go sideways at the low end of the scale for a while.
Well, that would be the fear, especially if you got grain to market. You know, if we do go higher, it's going to have to be weather driven or economic recovery, or some type of event to get the demand pulled forward here. Right now, when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, corn carryout, 1.7, 1.8, there's no hurry to buy corn unless you need some good quality corn. On the bean side, we're looking at two types of market. We're looking at a tight old crop situation until we get the beans out of the southern hemisphere in a more timely fashion. Today there's talk about Argentine maybe having a port strike and also a trucker strike. So if it's going to happen, they want to do it in the heat of battle here. But if there's any interruptions there, hopefully we can pick up more business from China on these old crops. But they're going to be in a holding mode on our old crop beans. They're going to start buying new crop beans. So market does move lower here. We're going to continue to see new crop sales to China because they've got a big nation to feed, and they continue want to keep their bean reserves at a level that they're comfortable with.
Seems to me, then, what you're saying, if you are a hedger, you need to be kind of on your toes and look for these small moves. That it may be small moves that you're going to be doing your marketing on, at least in the short term.
On a selective hedger, there's plenty of opportunity there. From a long-term scale, you got to sort of play defense here until this bearishness runs its course. Hopefully it won't be as bad as the bear wants it to be. The news will change. It's just when and where, but we don't want to get caught in a situation where if the market goes lower, all of a sudden we're forced to sell, then we sell at the lower end. We like to keep marketing flexible so we can be a holder at lower levels and a seller at higher levels.
About 40 seconds left. What other features caught your eye today?
The livestock sector, the beef side continues to hold in there quite well. Looking down the road in here, we're going to continue to run in some tighter numbers. Demand starting to pick up. Also, too, on the meat side, there's still more enthusiasm coming from Russia on them. On the poultry side, even world pork demand is starting to pick up, too. So the overall meat sector is returned to some profitability here, and that's going to keep a good, solid feed demand base here in the United States.
Thanks, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln, committee member Mike Johanns, and 17 bipartisan co-sponsors have introduced a resolution pressing Japan to lift its partial ban on U.S. beef. The resolution says Japan should immediately expand market access for U.S. beef products and urges the Obama administration to insist on increased market access from Japan. Johanns says, quote, "For too long, Japan has been grossly unfair in its treatment of U.S. beef and beef producers for reasons that defy scientific rationalization. We have proven that U.S. beef is safe for consumption. Japan must recognize that fact and remove its non-scientific barriers to our beef sales." The resolution was submitted ahead of a planned visit to Japan by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in April. Japan originally closed its borders to all U.S. beef products in 2003, citing concerns about mad cow disease. Before the ban, Japan was the largest market for U.S. beef, with exports valued at $1.4 billion a year. A new joint study of the American Meat Institute and the Food Marketing Institute says that 62% of shoppers who saw a significant drop in household income altered their meat shopping. The fifth edition of The Power of Meat found meat consumption measured in tonnage was up last year, but shoppers opted for cheaper cuts. Consumers are taking a wide variety of money-saving measures, including bulk purchasing, buying items on sale, trading down, substituting along with eliminating groceries in general, and meat and poultry specifically. The share of shoppers to whom brand is unimportant rose to 74% for fresh meat and 62% for processed meat. Fertilizer maker CF Industries Holdings Incorporated agreed to buy rival Terra Industries Incorporated for more than $4.6 billion in cash and stock. The deal ends a wild, lengthy battle for dominance of the North American fertilizer industry that included competing hostile bids and fights for board seats. Canada's Agrum Incorporated pulled its hostile bid for CF on last Thursday evening. A top Brazilian official says that Brazil and the U.S. are likely to agree on a negotiated solution to a case involving U.S. subsidies to cotton growers, thus avoiding Brazilian trade and intellectual property retaliation. Brazil has released a list of 102 items due for possible tariff hikes, but the hikes will only come into effect after 30 days. Brazil is due to release details on the cross-retaliation portion of the measures later this month. Tyson Foods today says that it spent more than $625,000 in the fourth quarter to lobby the government on diesel tax credits, energy, and other issues. The Springdale, Arkansas-based meat producer also lobbied on ethanol and immigration, as well as access to foreign markets like China and Japan. Besides Congress, the company lobbied the Environmental Protection Agency, the White House, the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. Trade Representative, and other agencies, that according to a report filed on February 1st with the House Clerk's Office. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Farmers in Illinois have until today to make their final crop insurance decisions. Todd Gleason files this report on one of the products and how its premium has changed since last year.
GRIP, or Group Risk Income Plan, is a county revenue product that bases guarantees and federal crop insurance payments on county yields rather than farm yields. Illinois farmers, no doubt by now, have made note that the premiums on GRIP products have changed since last year. The University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke says premiums on GRIP with the harvest revenue option, GRIP HR, for corn at the 90% coverage level and 100% protection level, have an average premium reduction of $13 an acre across all Illinois counties. He says part of the reduction is due to lower estimates of price volatilities for the 2010 marketing year. Well, that's all well and good, but farmers are much more likely to wonder about the wide variability in GRIP premiums from county to county rather than the average drop. For instance, Schnitke notes McLean County and neighboring Logan County have one of the highest and one of the lowest premium rates. But the farmland isn't really that different.
Yep. If you look across the state, there should be two things that cause GRIP premiums to vary. One is the correlation with the between the county yield and price changes, which you don't really think would vary a lot across the state. It's likely to be lower in southern Illinois, but not a lot. And the other is yield variability. And the counties with more yield variability will tend to have higher premiums.
The largest GRIP premium reduction in Illinois is for Tazewell County. It's down $29.90 an acre. On the other hand, there are counties experiencing premium increases, including Clay, that's up just 91 cents an acre, Fayette, Franklin, Hamilton, Jefferson, Massac, Perry, Pulaski, Randolph, Saline, Washington, Wayne, and Williamson, and that's the one that's got the biggest increase. It's still just $4 an acre. They're all counties with premium increases, and they're all in southern Illinois. Now, given those numbers, with a few notable exceptions, GRIP HR premiums are in the $30 to $40 range in the center part of Illinois. There's a pocket of counties in southern Illinois with $50 and $60 per acre premiums. Premiums in northern Illinois are mixed, with DeKalb, Joe Davies, and Whiteside counties having lower premiums, while Boone, Grundy, and Will counties have higher premiums. The bottom line on whether or not to use GRIP still for Schnitke is pretty simple.
Let me just give you an example. If you're in Logan County, $39 will be your premium. McLean County, right next, $61. Producers in Logan County will likely find GRIP HR more advantageous than McLean County farmers. The other thing I would say is that look at GRIP premiums this year for 2010, because in some cases they're $20 or so lower than they were last year.
Even for counties with higher premiums, says Schnitke, the expected payments for GRIP HR are expected to exceed the GRIP HR farmer paid premiums in northern and central Illinois. Estimates for net costs can be found in the payment simulator in the crop insurance section of the U of I's FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Jenny Springer of the Andersons. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jenny.
Hello, Dave.
Well, I guess I would expect, given where we are on the futures, even though maybe basis has been pretty good, the phones aren't ringing right now?
Nope, it's been a pretty quiet paperwork day.
So, when we were at the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, the thing that I was struck by the most is the lengthy talk that we had about the amount of corn that might be out of condition across the United States,
mm-hmm.
and how much of it might be number three or worse. And then when we asked producers, well, do you think that your corn is okay, everybody in the room raised their hand.
I think everybody's corn's going to be okay until it goes out of condition. We've been encouraging guys to be checking their bins and coring the bins to see where they're at, and, you know, to make sure that they can take this corn that's still wet in the bin into, you know, these warmer temperatures and not have it, you know, and not have issues. A lot of the corn that we're seeing come in out of the bin is still anywhere from 16 to 20% moisture.
So essentially what it went into the bin at, it's coming out at.
Mm-hmm. It's only been, only a couple points has been taken out, especially if they didn't dry it, if they just put it under air or, you know, ran heat on it, but didn't actually run it through a dryer.
And at the Andersons, you've got all your corn picked up and you've been running it through the dryers left and right like crazy, right?
Correct.
How long has that process taken?
I mean, we're still drying when the temperatures are, you know, now that the temperatures are warmer, we can continue to dry, you know, around the clock. But, I mean, we've still got quite a bit to, you know, move through the process.
And will all the corn that you've got in putting in your elevator, will it all grade out at two, or will you're going to have to deal some blending issues later down the road?
We're blending to two. I think right now we're sitting fine. It just depends on, you know, if guys start having problems, if they ignore it or if they actually take care of it in a timely manner, where we're still getting, you know, decent corn in the door versus, you know, seeing anywhere from 50% damage and above.
And what is your anticipation for basis over the next couple of weeks?
I think basis will stay relatively strong. I think if we do start to see guys' bins go bad, you'll start to see more and more premiums for good corn to come in the door.
What about your prices today?
Cash corn, we are at $3.41. Fall corn, we are at $3.63. Cash beans are at $9.20, and fall beans are at $8.74.
Thank you much, Jenny.
Thank you.
Jenny Springer of the Andersons. She is in Champaign, Illinois. And in just 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Federal prosecutors say ousted Governor Rob Blagojevich's corruption trial should begin June 3rd as scheduled. In a 9-page brief, prosecutors argue that federal judge James Zagel should turn down Blagojevich's request for a 5-month delay. The dispute over when to start the trial is expected to come up at a hearing in the case set for Wednesday. Governor Mitch Daniels says Indiana's public schools will face hard times next year unless the national economy improves significantly. So far, Daniels says Indiana has only nicked school funding instead of gouging it like other states. He says Indiana's priorities will be to maintain fiscal solvency and its AAA credit rating over the next 10 months before lawmakers start writing a new state budget. A legal agreement is slated to be filed in court today to require Illinois to help thousands of residents move out of large mental institutions and provide them with support services. If approved by a judge, the state would have 5 years to help residents transition to apartments and small homes. While advocates of the mentally ill say the agreement is a major step forward, Diane Zell of the Champaign Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness says she fears Illinois' fiscal problems may make the transition difficult for many people leaving mental institutions. She says those people may lose the care they received in institutions and be unable to get the jobs that would provide them with health insurance. A judge in Chicago expects to rule 2 weeks from today on whether to lift a temporary restraining order on a long-debated Illinois law that requires a teenage girl's parents to be told before she has an abortion. Cook County Judge Daniel Riley heard arguments today from the Illinois Attorney General's office and the ACLU, which sought the order. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
A series of light rain showers anticipated across Argentina over the next several days?
Yes, Argentina will probably see a fairly high frequency of shower activity starting on really Tuesday. I guess it was really more like Wednesday and going on through the first part of next week. Most of the rain that occurs is not going to be heavy, but it will affect just about all crop areas at one time or another. So some of the sunseed and early corn harvesting that's underway will be slowed down and delayed, but it shouldn't turn out to be any kind of a serious threat for the majority of those crops. Sunseed is real sensitive to moisture at harvest time, as you know, so that may be the one crop that may not take the moisture all that well, but soybeans will eat it up. Most of the soybean crops in great shape. We did firm up the soil a little bit in the past week, so this additional moisture coming up this week will help to assure that there's not going to be any dryness for the late double crop beans.
Are similar conditions anticipated in Brazil?
Absolutely. Brazil's also looking at some pretty ideal conditions. There's a little bit of an increase in precipitation being suggested for southern portions of the country as we go out into the weekend and next week. I don't believe that the rains there will be any more significant than those in Argentina, which means that there'll be some interruption to field work, but not necessarily a problem for the quality of the crop that's left. And for the most part, it's going to be a pretty darn good environment with alternating periods of sunshine and rainfall to support the late-season soybean crop.
In the U.S. Midwest, it's going to be Noah weather, and I'm thinking biblically.
Very good. Well, it looks as though we are not going to be seeing a lot of excessive moisture in the lower parts of the Midwest over the rest of this week on into the weekend. But the problem is in the upper parts of the Midwest and the northern plains. And indeed, we do have a very serious flood that is going to be unveiling itself across the Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, northwestern Iowa. These areas still have some 2 to 6 inch of moisture equivalency tied up in snow across that region. And it's all going to melt probably over a 3-day period beginning tomorrow and ending on Friday. We'll probably see temperatures up there in the 40s and lower 50s during the middle part of the week with low temperatures at night staying just a little bit above freezing. So it'll be a continuous melt, and the runoff will become pretty substantial. I believe the Red River at Fargo, North Dakota, is expected to crest sometime at the end of this week. We're kind of suspicious that maybe it'll last longer than that, though. I just can't see this flood moving on downstream that quickly. But nevertheless, Midwest will have a pretty sloppy mess up that way for at least the majority of this week.
I guess the one silver lining is it's not going to rain on top of it very much. Or...
That's exactly right. And we do have a storm system that will be passing into that region at the end of this week, and it will bring on maybe a tenth to five-tenths of an inch of moisture in parts of the region. I think South Dakota and southern Minnesota will probably see the majority of that moisture, and it will change the snow towards the end. And really the best news is the fact that it is going to turn colder behind this event, and that should help to firm up the soil, firm up the moisture, I guess, a little bit, and stop the runoff is what I'm trying to say. And we'll see that helping to move the crest downstream and perhaps minimize the potential for something more serious in the way of a major flood.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that's today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.
The Big Short, the divide between Wall Street people who bought into the subprime market and the quirky few who bet against it.
From one angle, it looks like a gorgeous woman in profile, and from another angle,